A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are, as always, proudly presented by the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. If you haven't talked to your banker in a while, you should. It's all about relationships. Maybe you have a home equity line you need to check in on. Just call your banker. Make sure you're preserving that relationship. It's really, really important. Relationships matter a ton, especially in the marketing and media worlds. That's what we're going to talk about today. One of Milwaukee's top sales and marketing executives, Taylor Hibble, the creative director at Exterior Pros, is going to join us. Exterior Pros, a good WTMJ partner, a wonderful WTMJ partner. Taylor's great. We're going to talk about her Milwaukee Business Journal recognition as one of the top C-suite stars in sales and marketing in the area. Taylor's going to have some good insights on family business, leadership development, success, and of course, how you can get your home ready for the coming winter season here in beautiful Wisconsin. Looking forward to talking with Taylor. Maybe think a little bit about the future of marketing, you know, how AI is going to become a creative partner for all of us. Hyper-personalization and identity marketing, just both are coming fast and furious, and community and creator-led growth in marketing. You know who knows a lot about that space? Yes, the one and only Martin Moore. Our good friend Martin is going to join us later in the show. Big thoughts on AI, new AI browsers, the impact AI is already having on e-commerce, Apple's new foray into touchscreen computing. And Martin and I are going to give our thoughts on the future of Bayshore Town Center. All coming up after this break. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are joined in studio by Taylor Hibble from Exterior Pros. Taylor, I know it's a super busy time for you, so you're taking a little time out of your day to spend it with us. I truly appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So I get the Business Journal notifications via email and text, and I see their C-suite stars. I'm going through the list, and there's Taylor Hibble's name listed among the greatest marketing minds in Milwaukee. Talk about this recognition a little bit and what it means for you.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. It's such an honor. Milwaukee is full of incredibly talented marketers, so to be recognized among them means a lot. And for me, it's just a reflection of our whole team at Exterior Pros. The creativity, the energy, and the passion everyone brings to connecting with homeowners and helping them make confident decisions about improving their homes. So it was really nice to make that list.
Yeah, I talked a little bit about relationships and kind of the changing marketing landscape in the introduction. But really, ultimately, your business, it all goes back to the relationship, right? And
yes,
you got to be proud of what you've built.
Yeah, for sure. We're very mindful of the relationships that we build with our customers, and we want them to be a forever customer of ours. Yeah. So that initial visit all the way through the final install of their project is very important to us.
Now, we both live in the marketing and sales world day to day. Creative direction. You're a creative director at a company that maybe works in a space that some people think, wow, you know, it's not that creative. Well, it's homes and it's remodeling and exteriors. What does creative direction mean through your lens at Exterior Pros?
So at Exterior Pros, creative direction is about more than just how things look when we're done. It's about how everything feels. It's making sure that every ad, every photo, and every color choice tells a consistent story about trust, quality, and transformation. And my role is to shape that story. So to make sure homeowners can picture not just a new roof or bath, but a better home experience.
Yeah, I mean, we're all storytellers. You know, even living within our homes, we want it to tell a great story when we walk out of the door, and you guys do a great job. What are some of the design trends that you're seeing and maybe that you're most excited about? I mean, there's so many new materials and colors and styles, but I think sometimes maybe we get a little overwhelmed trying to find, like, all right, what's on trend and what should I do? Like, how do you stay on top of all that? And just walk us through, like, what trends look like from your day to day?
Yeah, there's definitely so many options available. Right now, we're definitely seeing homeowners lean towards bold, modern contrast. So like a black and deep navy siding with warm wood tones or white trim. We're also seeing a big push towards energy efficiency and durability. It's products that look great and perform well. So it's exciting to help people find options that both elevate curb appeal while adding that long-term value to their home.
All right. So the old school white siding on my house, I got to mix that up a little bit and shake it up.
You know what? Everything always comes back. So maybe just hold on to it for a little bit. All right, we'll see.
That is true. Yes. Everything old is new again, right? I'm going to stick with it because, you know, most of the homes in my neighborhood, people go to that like gray or that blue and like, it's great. But then everyone else does it. I'm going to stick with the white for a while.
You're going to stick out for sure. So that's good.
All right. Very good. So the biggest mistake, not to be negative here, but I like to stay on the positive side, but I'm sure some people make mistakes with their homes. There's things that like, oh my gosh, I was planning and I didn't make the right decision. What are some of the biggest mistakes you see for homeowners on the exteriors of their homes?
Yeah, so the biggest mistake I see by far is focusing only on price without considering long-term quality. So just because it's a cheaper option up front, it can end up costing more in repairs or replacements down the road. So my advice would be to work with a company that helps you understand the materials, the warranties, and the installation process. A home's exterior is your first line of protection, so it's definitely worth doing right the first time.
We're talking with Taylor Hibble from Exterior Pros. I want to talk about leadership and culture a little bit and just kind of get into the meat and potatoes of the business. What does creative leadership look like in terms of business impact for you?
That's a great question. To me, creative leadership is really about solving problems in a smarter way. So it's not just the visuals or the ads that we create. It's how we tell our story and how we connect with homeowners and really how we make their experience easier from that first call to that final walkthrough. When you lead creatively, you think about what your customers feel, not just what they see, and that builds trust. And in our business, trust drives everything. So it's what turns a great design into real results, both for homeowners and for the company.
How do you keep your creativity high? Like, teach me a little bit. Like, is it just lifelong learning and reading and going to different trade shows? Like, how do you keep that level of creativity high? Because you got to bring it every day.
Yeah, there's definitely a continuing education process, staying up on the trends, the new materials. There's always new things that manufacturers are coming out to stay competitive. But I've always had a knack for design. I went to school for it. So I think just naturally, I kind of know what to expect based on the trends that are arising in different industries. But ultimately, it's just staying educated on what people are looking for and making sure that we can provide what customers are looking for their homes.
Yeah, and there's so much uniqueness. And I think sometimes in Wisconsin, we maybe take it a bit for granted that we have such wonderful, unique architectural and neighborhood styles. You know, every maybe village, city has its own look and feel. But when you look at the unique architecture and styles in our area, what are the best parts of the Wisconsin neighborhoods that you're so proud to work with every day?
Yeah, I think that's one of the best parts of working in this area. No two homes are the same that we work on. So we've worked on everything from classic craftsman homes with a ton of history, you know, those houses you see in the Milwaukee-Tosa area, to sleek modern updates in newer neighborhoods. It's all about enhancing what's already there for us. Wisconsin homes have personality. We just help them shine.
Very good. We're talking with Taylor Hibble from Exterior Pros. When we come back, Taylor, I want to dive into community. I know you had a big October in terms of some civic give back. We'll talk about that program. And then touch a little bit on holiday lights because it is that time of the year, and I want to make sure that the lights on my home are going to look the best that they can. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Taylor Hibble from Exterior Pros. Taylor, again, thanks for your time this morning. So Exterior Pros partners with a lot of entities across the community. You work with local vendors. You support sustainable, locally sourced work on a lot of your projects. Talk about that community commitment a bit.
Yeah, I think a big part of it comes down to our core values. We are 100% family owned. I work with a lot of my family, so we like to put that out to our customers. And community is really at the heart of everything that we do. We work closely with all local suppliers and vendors whenever possible. It keeps business here in Wisconsin and supports our neighbors. We also make a big push towards sustainability, things like recycling old materials. offering energy efficient options and partnering with manufacturers that share those values.
I talk to a lot of family business owners. Do you have any insider tips? I'm going to throw you a little curveball here, but insider tips for working with family. Is it just all about communication and trust, or like just give us a couple good tips that you've learned along the way?
I think for me, working with family is the best blessing that I have. I get to see my mom, my dad, my aunt, my best friend, a lot of people that I work with every single day. Communication is definitely key. You have to learn to leave work at work and not bring it home. We have become pretty
Have you
good
been able
that.
To do that? Is that like just sitting around the dinner table? Don't you want to just naturally gravitate to like, hey, this is what happened during my day? Or do you just table that and you can leave work at work?
It definitely happens. We will bring things up or it'll just naturally come into conversation. Right. But we do try to be mindful of my two siblings who don't work in this industry,
okay, right.
who are like, come on, stop talking about it. Can we talk about something else? So it's definitely the core of who we are. We love where we work and we love working together. But we do try to leave it at work if possible and enjoy life together as family.
All right. The fall and October are such big seasons here in Wisconsin. You had a big October event. I want to have you tell us all about it, a big event with Susan G. Komen Foundation, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so on top of being 100% family operated, we are 100% woman owned. So for the second year in a row, Exterior Pros has turned pink. And right now we're donating 5% of all October sales to the Susan G. Komen Foundation for Breast Cancer Awareness. Hmm. With a goal of $30,000. And we hit that goal last year, and we're looking forward to doing it again this year. We are on pace, so a few days left, but hoping that the sales roll in so that we can write that check.
And so the donations are all through sales. Is there a way for people to donate directly
Yes,
as
absolutely.
Well?
They could give us a call or send us an email at info@extpros.com. We can send them the link. We also have a link on our Facebook page if they want to donate directly. But we'll be writing that check at the end of October. Robin, our director, comes. She's the director of the Milwaukee chapter. She comes and we do a little check presentation, and it's just it's a great celebration. So we just want to be a company that doesn't only improve homes but makes an impact beyond them, and this is one way that we can do that.
Komen does such great work. Their annual walk at the lakefront. Robin and Nikki are both wonderful human beings, and just the impact that they have on so many who've been touched by breast cancer is truly amazing. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about design trends and kind of look to the future with a focus of what's ahead in exterior design. What are some of the innovations, especially as we're looking at all these AI tools that are coming our way? How do you expect change coming to the design process from your lens, like technology and AI and just visualization tools?
Yeah, tech and AI are hitting the home improvement market really hard right now, and there's so much exciting change that's happening. It's really transformed how we plan our projects. We're using tools now that let homeowners see the upgrades before we even start. So things like 3D visualization, AI-based colors and textures so that they can take that guesswork out of the process. Mm-hmm. We also use satellite measurements for a lot of our projects, which not only saves time at the estimate, our project consultants, they don't have to hand measure, and we know that it's close to 100% accurate. It's coming right from our suppliers. So that can help keep our estimates really true to cost as well for the homeowner. Technology is becoming really innovative in our industry.
Are you seeing more clients come to you with ideas as a result of the information we all have? I mean, I use the analogy of, you go to the doctor and you usually come in like, I know I have a sinus infection because I got all the information in front of me. Is that a challenge for you when a client comes and said, this is what I want, I have it all mapped out, look at it, like make this happen? Or is that, does that help your process?
Yeah, I think that's a great question for a sales rep. But in my opinion, I would think that that would help immensely, them knowing exactly what they want. There's not a color, I think, that we can't provide. So if they know the design that they're looking for, it saves a lot of time in that design process, which we're happy to take when needed. But if they know what they want and we can give them that exact look that they're looking for, it really helps showing those design precedents so that, we can make sure that we can give them exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah. And even in this ever-changing world of technology that we all live in, are you sensing a growing demand for energy efficiency and eco-conscious remodeling? Is that something that's still on people's radar?
Definitely. And not just for the environmental reasons. People are realizing energy efficiency saves real money long-term. We're seeing a big shift toward insulated siding, energy-efficient windows, and roofing materials that reflect heat and reduce energy use. So what's great is that today's products don't make you choose between style and sustainability. You can have both. homeowners want to invest in their homes responsibly, and we're able to help them do that.
All right. Give us your two big bullet points, tips for advice if I'm planning renovations on my home for 2026. What are the two biggest tips?
My biggest tip, and I wish I could scream this from the mountaintops.
You can scream. Come on.
Do not wait too long. Everybody thinks pricing is going to go down. It's going to get less expensive. It is not. Fall and winter are still great times for exterior projects, but scheduling fills up fast, especially with the snow that flies. We never know what it's coming in Wisconsin. So even if you're planning for next spring, getting your estimates now locks in pricing and gives you time to explore your options.
Are there winter prep things that I need to be aware of? And I always have, the gutters cleared. That's an easy one. But are there other things that, hey, Jeff, you're missing it?
Yeah, I would say definitely making sure your gutters are clear. That'll help reduce those icicles that happen all around your sidewalk when people are walking in. But seal around your windows and doors. Make sure there's not a ton of drafts. Check your roof for damage before snow hits so that you don't have a leak when it's 20 below zero. Those are small steps you can take to save a lot of headaches later.
And it's about that time. It's a little colder as we sit here right now, but we're going to still have some 50 and 60 degree days. And you want to get those holiday lights up early, I think, before, the snow starts falling. What are some of the tips there? And then I got another follow-up question. But first, just give me your insider tips on holiday lights.
Yeah, so if you're hanging lights, my advice is always safety first. Use clips instead of nails so that you don't damage your siding or shingles. LED lights are a must. They're brighter, safer, and way more energy efficient. So those would be my two tips for those. And be careful on the ladder.
All right, that is good. Should I keep them up all year long? I mean, if they kind of blend into the exterior of the home, is that okay? Or you frown upon that? And this could be a personal.
Yeah, I say to each their own, but if you're the neighbor who keeps them up year-round, maybe you're just planning for next season and you're trying to get ahead of it. So
okay. Taylor Hibble from Exterior Pros joins us. Taylor, a couple concluding questions here. Beautiful fall season in Wisconsin. You have a favorite fall tradition, you and your family?
Yeah, I just love to get outside with the crisp air, grab a coffee, go for a walk. There's a lot of fall festivals that I love to attend. And just admiring, the change of season. And I am definitely a sucker for pumpkin everything. So give me all the pumpkin spice lattes, candles, and we'll keep those burning all season long.
Very good. And going back to the beginning of our discussion, given your Business Journal recognition, do you have a favorite leadership or business book that you've read? I need a success tip or two. So what's on your reading list?
I've read so many. I am definitely a huge reader of all personal development and leadership books. Currently, I'm reading, and our entire leadership is reading, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Okay.
It's a great book on, how to see problems differently, create habits for long-term success and happiness. Atomic Habits is one that I've read over and over. Any of those books that can help you develop as a person and make not only yourself better, but help you improve lives of others, I think is a great read. So ask ChatGPT. I'm sure it'll give you a list.
Yes. You highlight, you make notes, you keep them in your Apple Notes, and you get inspired throughout the day. Finally, I love to ask everyone to define success.
For me, success isn't just the awards or recognition that we get through it. It's seeing people happy with the work that you've done, feeling proud of your team, and knowing you've made a positive impact on your community.
Very good. Community and connections, that's what it's all about. I appreciate your time. Congratulate you again on the award, and look forward to a great winter season in all of our homes.
Yes, thank you, and stay warm.
Indeed.
It's time to fast forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Martin Moore.
Welcome back to the upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by the one and only Martin Moore. We're going through technology and more. Martin, I want to first hit on AI and shopping because that's where you spend your day to day. Optimizing e-commerce for costs and more. I'm going to get your general thoughts on how e-commerce could evolve in the coming years. It's all these platforms are kind of gearing up to take all of our inputs that we're putting into these AI platforms to sell us stuff. Mm-hmm. How do you see AI changing not how only we buy, but how we buy, when we buy is it going to predict our desires and articulate them back to us?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you betcha. This is going to be the algorithm on a crack. You know, this is all going to be trends and when you buy things. And it, over the period of not years, but just a few months, AI is going to be able to sort of see how you live your life, when you buy things, what you're looking at, and give you a much more calculated and intentional list of products to advertise to you for versus sort of right now, traditional algorithms kind of market with – it's like fishing with dynamite. They throw a bunch of things at you, a couple things maybe you might like, see what sticks. AI is going to be much more hyper-targeted. It's going to be much more cost-efficient for brands and businesses. Yeah. But then on the flip side, with the consumer side, people like me, I use things like Capital One Travel, and you're going to start to see AI on the consumer side trying to find the best prices and when airline tickets and products go on sale and stuff like that. And there's really going to be this sort of like fist bump where the consumer and e-commerce and business and stuff like that are both using AI against each other.
So how does advertising eventually integrate into our AI platforms? I mean, and do you think the consumer is going to have some reluctance to buy now through ChatGPT or Perplexity or whatever platform they're on?
I don't think so, because it's just going to be another version of what we already have now. I mean, every platform we're on, whether you see it or not or realize it or not, there's an ad somewhere. And so they'll do a good job of hiding it and sneaking it in there so the consumer doesn't know. It's not technology's first rodeo. It's not the internet's first rodeo. They'll do it with nuance and finesse and make sure that they get every dollar out of us they can.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of still, I think people have in their mind, like, what is that ethical line between the helpful curation and the manipulation, if you will?
And that's what marketing is.
But that's going to come, right?
Marketing, as someone who's in marketing, it's manipulation. I don't want you to buy a product because I think you want it or need it. I want you to just buy a product and buy another product, whether you need it or not. That's marketing. Now, I do it ethically, you know, at cost and anything like that. But there's a lot of businesses where they don't care. Right. Apple, they just want to sell you a new iPhone every single year. It's irrelevant if you need one or not. And so that's where AI is going to start getting very, very tricky in manipulating people.
Yeah. I think one thing pretty sure is going to change is our web browser experience.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're seeing now, like this week, OpenAI announced the launch of its AI-powered browser, ChatGPT Atlas. Kind of a big step maybe towards the end of the Google domination. I mean, that market share is still pretty high, but that's where they're all going to go. They're going to own and operate their own browsers.
Yeah, 100%. And Google should be terrified. You and I were just talking before the show started about this. And, you know, Google has had basically an oligopoly on web browsers for the last 15, 20 years. And there's really been no household name that's come along and really chipped away at it in any significant way. It wasn't Bing. It wasn't Opera. It wasn't Firefox. But ChatGPT, everybody's heard of it in one form or another. They may not know exactly what it is or what it does. But just having that foot in the door as far as name and brand recognition is going to be huge for them. And then the fact that, you know, they're good at what they do as far as search and stuff like that and giving you what you want. In a couple of years, I think we could see a major shift in the search engine paradigm.
Yeah, and if you're already using your preferred AI platform day-to-day in the workplace, you're going to be able to integrate all those new features without having several tabs open up, because it's all going to be one seamless experience. 100%.
I mean, so many people in business and in education and everything use ChatGPT already, so why not have it integrated into the web browser, you know?
Yeah, and I've been testing Perplexity's Comet browser.
Did you like it?
In a smaller market share, for sure. Kind of a niche product. I like the experience. I'm not sure it's going to replace my Safari experience.
Sure, sure.
But that said, I'm using it more than I thought I would.
Oh, absolutely. I think the biggest hurdle they're going to have is making sure that V1 experience doesn't turn people off, because it's really hard to get a customer back when they've sort of written you off. Threads is a big outlier, and I look to them where they came out tons of users, and then the experience was just kind of meh, and people left. But they did a really good job of getting people to give them a second chance. And so I think companies like OpenAI and, you know, and Microsoft and all these companies that are getting into AI and search engines, they really need to be careful with how that first version comes out and make sure that's as accessible and is likable as possible for people, so they don't abandon it and then don't get their business again.
Yeah, your version one, version two point is spot on. And when we come back, we're going to go right to that because Sora 2 has dropped. And I know you got some big thoughts on how AI video tools are going to change our world. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Martin Moore, our technology expert.
You wanted to say guru.
One of the biggest Bucks fans in Milwaukee, too, which I always appreciate. So, Martin, tools like Sora and Showrunner are making it possible for anyone to create cinematic film-quality video. What does that mean for the future of storytelling and filmmaking?
I don't like it. You know, it used to be you used to have an idea and you used to have some gear. You had to know how to use a camera. You know how you had to learn depth of field, and you had to learn about framing and all the technical things that going into making a movie or a documentary or a TV show. You know, you had to be good at dialogue and all this sort of stuff. And now anybody can make this kind of stuff, and that you don't need to know how to do anything. And it sort of cheapens the real talent out
there. But it's fun to do and easy to share, and that's what we all want.
There's a lot of things that are fun to do and easy to share. Some of them are illegal, but it doesn't mean that, you know, it's good. I worry because AI just has a leg up on what it knows human beings want and what's funny and what's popular, what's trendy, what's going to go viral. And it can figure that out in 1, 2, 3 videos versus if you're a human creator, it may take you weeks, a month, maybe a couple of years to sort of get to that spot. And AI really expedites that. Yeah. And I don't like it. I think it's just junk. It's slop. And it's funny when you're trapped in it in the moment. But I think overall, it's not good because it's not real.
Well, from a creator standpoint, how do you balance these tools? They're efficient, right?
Sure.
But then how do you protect originality and creativity?
I think I've always said this, and this is just one of myriad examples, but like I use ChatGPT for copywriting. Now, I'm a very good writer. I have a large vocabulary. I'm very articulate. I'm very good with grammar. I'm very, very good at copywriting. So all ChatGPT does is expedite and get me to where I was already going to be.
But it's using your data and your inputs.
Well, exactly. Right? It's using my history. You know, it's cruising cost.com, so it's plagiarizing everything I've written in blog posts and history pages and product pages. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
And so I think as a content creator or a filmmaker, if you're using it to expedite things that you're already good at, that you're already could do a TED Talks on, I think that's fine. I think if you're using it as a cheat code to pop off and go viral or to just cheat your way through some career or job, that's a problem. Yeah. That you're, it's no different than just like lying or cheating, in my opinion.
What about AI-generated movies and experiences? Showrunner, basically a platform that you can put yourself into a movie.
Yeah.
So you could have Martin Moore running through with R2-D2 in Star Wars.
Sure.
Like, that could be an interesting add-on for a price to enhance the film experience. But from the original George Lucas lens,
right,
that probably not what was intended
piece of art. What I worry is that AI is just gonna cheapen all of the amazing stuff and people that have come before us. And, you know, when I was using Sora 2, I got trapped in it. I was making these funny Mr. Rogers videos and these funny Bob Ross videos. Right. And I was cruising on there, and there was Martin Luther King saying things he never said and Pee Wee Herman. And, you know, it was funny in the moment. And then after about 24 hours, I thought, this isn't this isn't funny. These are people that spent a lot of time and had a lot of love for their craft, and they were very true to the muse and what they did. And now we're just making a gag out of people and politicians. And I just worry about going down that road and using AI for that purpose.
Yeah. Talking with
for
Martin,
entertainment.
Yeah. We're talking with Martin Moore. Martin, one of our favorite topics is always Apple, seems to be. Every few weeks when you come visit us, there's some new announcement from Apple. This week, they've announced touchscreens on MacBooks. They've resisted this for years because they didn't want to be like Chromebook. You think this is about design, or is there something deeper here, like they're catching up? Or they're just like, hey, we're the second mover and we're going to dominate this.
I mean, Apple's – there's very few products Apple's made where they were – the first at Apple's really good at taking mediocre products and mediocre ideas and turning into something that's usable and marketable and a regular consumer can use. We saw it with the iPad. We saw it with the iPhone. We saw it with the iPod. Mm-hmm. We've seen it with Mac OS, the mouse, all of that stuff. And so, you know, I think touchscreen Macs and Apple Vision Pro and all this kind of stuff that's come out, Apple's just sort of taking their crack at taking products that otherwise haven't really taken off and done well and seeing if maybe a little bit of the Apple magic can elevate the experience for the customer.
I mean, how do you make an Apple touchscreen a little bit more Apple? Like, what else can you do to it to really make it stand out?
Not the iPad, because that thing is, in my opinion, completely useless. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of touchscreen computers. I like a keyboard. I like a mouse. Not because I'm old and I don't like change. They have yet to prove me wrong that it's more efficient and tactile than having a mouse and a keyboard and keystrokes. And so I've just never been a fan of touchscreens. So I wouldn't buy a touchscreen Mac. Just because it had a touchscreen. I probably never use it. Plus, I'm going to have fingerprints all over it, and I don't like that.
Very good. When we come back, we're going to go into the future of the Bayshore Town Center. You and I went back and forth via social a couple weeks ago. You have opinions on it. I have ideas. We're going to solve some problems.
Yes.
This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, joined by Martin Moore, talking about the future of lifestyle centers, the future of shopping malls, a hot topic here, as Martin and I both live very close to Bayshore Town Center. Bayshore announced recently the permanent closure of the ACX Cinema Complex, which included a theater, bowling alley, arcade, and restaurant. The decision followed a couple weeks where it was closed due to electrical issues, the mall was saying. But management is saying they're already talking to prospective new tenants, including some good meetings with Glendale Mayor Brian Kennedy, who's involved in the process. So optimistic they're going to be able to fill this spot. But as you look at Bayshore and the future of kind of similar lifestyle center malls, Martin, kind of what's your read on what the modern consumer wants in terms of these shopping districts? And what would you do in this space at Bayshore?
Boy, I got a lot of thoughts, and I'm trying to get in a couple of minutes. You know, ever since I saw what they did here to 3rd Street Market Hall, which is where 620 is, I realized that that's the blueprint for any public market, for any mall that is dying.
Experience-oriented. Driven.
The problem with Bayshore is it originally had a movie theater and some restaurants and a bowling alley, and it didn't work. And then this company or organization or whatever came in and it said, cool, bet, let's do the exact same thing again and see how that works. And it didn't. You have to create experiences that people want to come back to on a weekly, ideally a daily basis. People don't bowl every day and every week. Right. People don't go to movies every day and every week. You need to have things that people want to come back to, like restaurants people eat every day, sports bars. That would be a great thing for that rotunda area where you can watch the Brewers, you can watch the Bucks, you can watch the Packers.
They have that yard
yep.
center with the big screen TV and outdoor seating. And it's outdoor, but it's either created a nice community feel there.
Exactly. Right. There's something about belling up to a bar and watching the Brewers playoff game or watching the replay of the Bucks NBA Finals or the 2010 Super Bowl or something like that when there's no games on. Top Golf. There's things you have to do to get people to come in on a daily or weekly basis and want to be there. They also never advertise in the front. You walk past that rotunda and there was no menus for restaurants. There was no movie times or there was nothing. You had no idea what was in there.
Yeah. I mean, you have the presence of Cheesecake Factory, California Pizza Kitchen, Culver's, Chipotle. Like, there's destination type restaurants there. But I think you got to look at, you know, how do you really create maybe a chef-driven concept or a regional specialty or some kind of fast food concept that isn't in market to really give the reason to go. And I know that's tough to recruit those.
Oh, absolutely.
But you got to be different.
Yeah. And again, I go back to Third Street Market Hall here. They do that. All the local, you know, you have Kawa and just all the local vendors. You can buy local shirts and merchandise and stuff like that. They have the giant area with shuffleboard where you can, you know, you can come in here on a Tuesday afternoon. You can't get on the shuffleboard here in Third Street Market Hall. And so they've done a great job here figuring out what it is that people want to do when they're here rather than just sit and meander around and leave.
Yeah.
And Bayshore has to take a page out of Third Street Market Hall's book and implement some of that stuff because it's not that far away. So
I think they struck gold a little bit with Crumble Cookies. That was a big destination, like right before you get into the mall. That was a really hot concept for a while. Now you don't see as many long lines there every day as you did, but that type of model, I think, works really well to get a new younger consumer to kind of draw you in. Ooh, and then you have Kohl's, then you have Target, and then you have all this other stuff, but you need that linchpin.
Yep.
That reason to go, whether it's Bayshore or any other mall.
And one last point, you also have to diversify who is leasing these spaces, because when it's not busy, you need to have sort of a symbiance in there where there's people, there's a radio station there, and they need to eat on their lunch break, so they eat at the local vendors inside the place, and the local vendors listen to the radio. You know, you need to create a sort of a self-sufficient, in a way, business model where the mall can kind of, like a city, can kind of survive on its own. If the built, like during COVID, coffee shops and breakfast places died because people were working from home. So you kind of have to engineer that into the space as well.
Yeah. I think a unique national coffee experience could do well there. Colectivo was there years ago. Mm. But, you know, what's an out-of-market type chain that wants to build a place in the market? All right, finally, are you a Halloween guy?
No, I do not like Halloween. I like giving out candy on Halloween when the kids
come around,
and that's it. But other than that, I don't have kids. I don't care. I don't need to dress. It just is nothing for me.
I shouldn't even ask, like, how AI is going to impact our Halloween experience this year?
Boy, I haven't thought about it. I can't even riff off of that.
Right.
I have no idea.
You know, I think it will be costume originality that you may see, like, just like, hey,
run it,
give me some ideas that I'm not seeing and go into my personality.
That's,
I think, it's going to be that type of prompting that maybe we'll see more creativity in costumes.
That's one of the hardest parts is who am I going to go as, you know?
Yes.
So I could see where it would help. There's an argument for that.
All right. Quickly, we're just at the beginning of Bucks season, Martin.
Yes.
What's your prediction for the season?
My prediction for the season? Ooh, man.
It can be general. It can be specific.
I mean, I think we're going to make it to the playoffs. I think we are much younger, faster, and deeper on the bench than we were with the two seasons with Dame. I think we're going to rebound faster. We're going to have better defense, better transitioning. And I think we have a better shot at making it to the Eastern Conference Finals or the finals with this lineup and this crew and this bench than we did with Dame in the last two seasons. So I'm very optimistic.
There's some good juice to this year's squad.
Yes.
Even at the preseason game I was at, you can sense there's a little bit of kind of renewed energy there.
AJ Green was flushing them. Miles Turner looked like Brooke Lopez 6-7 years ago. I'm very excited. Thanasis is back on the bench, so we got that for garbage time.
And as someone who's always looking for new experiences inside Fischer, Flower Child Pizza is back in a big way.
Thank
so you
God.
Get the slices. They're like $11 or $12. So it's high quality,
It's delicious pizza.
Pizza is really, really good. So I like that.
In my opinion, is worth it.
All right, Martin, I always appreciate your time. Go Bucks.
Yep.